Good afternoon, St. Louis. FM News Talk. Ah, crap.
Are they not working?
No.
Did you break them already?
I thought I had two pairs of these.
I don't know.
I think I do.
Readjust.
Get Dr. Taliban in here.
You want me to go get you another pair?
He's the keeper of my headphones.
I feel like the other pair got lost somehow.
What?
Do they work now?
Yeah, checking the mic.
Okay.
I don't need a doctor. I fixed them.
Oh, you're good.
You know what? I'm on a roll.
First your Jeep.
Right.
Now the headphones.
Which you crapped on me for.
You'll be doing open heart surgery by the end of the week.
I'm good.
He's good, babe.
I fixed it.
He's got it all fixed.
Did we lose his other pair?
They're around.
Okay.
That's a yes.
That makes me feel good.
They're being ordered on Amazon right now.
Couldn't be more lost.
Around.
That's hilarious.
You know what works? Drugs.
Yes. You know what? Yes.
Drugs work. Yeah. Kids.
Fact.
What kind of drugs?
Sometimes.
Well,
they work a little too.
In particular, trazodone. Mm-hmm. I found some in the parking garage here at Intercom.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I didn't think you had a prescription for that.
No, but you can find lots of drugs in parking garages.
Absolutely.
So I found a bottle.
Mm-hmm. If you just walk with looking down in a parking garage,
find anything you need.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gold coins.
Especially by like certain people's
drugs.
Trucks.
You can almost
stocks, bonds.
Materialize.
Rachel.
What?
So.
Who drives a truck?
At 8 p.m., I took a melatonin. At 9 p.m., I took a trazodone.
Melatonin is not a drug.
Well, it helps drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drug enabler.
It's a natural drug.
It sets you up for the drug.
Gotcha.
And then I went to bed late for me, like 9:40, which is like... The sun's almost up, but I didn't get up. Like, I usually get up and pee like six times.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get up until like 7:20.
Wow.
Atta babe.
Nice.
Right?
Do you have any accidents in bed?
Feel great. All right?
There are no accidents in bed, Mark.
No.
Just roll with it all.
Just go with it and stuff.
What's that?
Feel good?
Yeah.
Feel better?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Feeling of the first good night's sleep after a run of bad night's sleep.
That was the night before. I slept pretty good the night before, and I felt much better yesterday. And today I'm a little bit tired, which is weird, since I slept more than I've slept in a really long time.
I had that, remember like 2 weeks ago, where I legitimately did not sleep for a week. And then I slept really well on Friday night, but Saturday I felt the sickest I had felt in a very long time. So, I don't know what it was.
It's a crazy, weird thing. Crazy, weird thing. I also did something really stupid today. So, I went into QT, where I always go, and for the last couple, 3 days, they have been out of my cherry, like, syrup I put in my Coke Zero.
Yeah, a little add-in.
It had, like, a, you know, caution tape over it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I did?
You went
tried
for
it anyway?
Yeah.
And?
And something red came out.
Good enough.
And it kind of tasted like cleanser.
Perfect.
But I drank the whole thing.
Attaboy.
You're not going to keep me away with your caution tape.
And then he crushed up some melatonin and put it in there too.
Hey.
As long as it's red.
Right?
Go. Absolutely.
I mean, they wouldn't let liquid come out if it was going to kill you.
Nah.
I think that's the law.
Yeah. Especially when there's caution tape on it.
Right.
Yeah, with the skull and... crossbones.
That's just to keep the pansies away.
That's
you
it.
Know?
Not the true
caution.
QT
just
fans.
Means think about it.
Yes.
It doesn't mean don't do it. It just means hey.
Yeah. It means proceed with caution,
dude. Before you do this, think about it.
It's like expiration dates on food. It's a suggestion.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know how this happened because it was a big gallon of milk, which I'm a milk guy, and the other day I went to take a tug. It was May, like 8th or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the expiration date was like May 1st.
Ugh.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
So I did what everyone does. I smelled it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like pure ass.
Okay.
But it was like.
On the way to ass?
It was on the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really struggled because I really wanted a drink of milk.
So did you take the hit?
No.
No, look at you.
I wasn't even worried about getting sick.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is going to probably not be pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Would you take
So let's recap. Drugs you find
drugs
in public places are good.
Okay.
Don't listen to like caution signs when it's a C store and it's soda. You're going to be fine.
Or anywhere, like an elevator. If it's got like caution, just use it.
They wouldn't even let you get on it if you know, if it was going to kill you.
Exactly. Just forge ahead.
Know what else works? Laxatives. Those are good. Nick always kids, like, because I use so much Clearasil. I've used Clearasil tinted since I was 14.
Okay.
And I use it kind of like makeup.
Right.
You know, it's like, takes the shine off.
Right.
And Nick always kids around. He's like, when you die, you're going to be 90% Clearasil, 10% cancer. But you're just going to, but I'll be one of those corpses that never rots.
It's really, we haven't gotten to Mr. Glover yet. Damn, he looks good. He's been here 3 weeks.
I'm telling you.
And he's not shiny. He looks fabulous.
Clear skin.
Yeah, he really does.
No pimple.
Oh, he's so important.
So preserved.
Look, I'm kidding, but I'm not.
So you've
it's going to have an effect.
You've had a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to know laxatives work. For the love of God, man, that stuff, they, what is it called again? The big pills they give you? The
suppository?
No. No. Ducalex?
Yeah.
Man, that stuff. Holy cow.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's not what does it, though. Dulcolax are like an everyday thing. They're like, when I did it 5 years ago or so, I took
drink
two Dulcolax,
right.
Started drinking the stuff.
Yeah.
Took two more Dulcolax, which is kind of...
Holy cow.
Yeah, by prescription, not even by choice.
Really?
And then I had to drink like 8 solo cups of this stuff,
yep.
Which was not... I'm kind of mad, because I should go do it again, because my mom had colon cancer.
Yeah, you should.
But it was perfect before. It wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like, I mixed it in
Gatorade. Yeah.
It was fine. I pooped all night, which was fantastic. And then went in, easy peasy. But now, the people who have them, I don't know why they're doing this, doctors. What's wrong with you? You do it in two cycles. Like, you drink some stuff and you poop.
Right.
Then you wake up at like 4 in the morning and do it again. Who needs that?
But I mix mine with...
Why do you try to fix things that aren't broken?
Yeah, like lemonade, Gatorade, and you drink like 18 gallons of the stuff. At least you used to.
No, you drink like 8 solo cups, 64 ounces.
I don't know, maybe it's...
Tony's going to drink that in this show.
Oh, I was going to say, before the first break's over, but it seems like it was more, and then all of a sudden it was all that lemonade, and it just hit me, and
maybe you're a punk.
There's no doubt about that.
Maybe that's it.
I can't even take... If I take more than one... Ibuprofen.
Oh,
ibuprofen.
I'm hallucinating. I mean, I'm like walking around my room and I'm seeing animals and stuff.
That doesn't happen.
That's a placebo effect.
Well, with you guys.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, with all the druggies in this room taking 2 ibuprofens.
The placebo effect is an interesting thing. The great Andrew.
Should we get him in here? Dr. Talabin?
I mean, you can if you want. He came over to my desk, I think last week, and asked for an ibuprofen, and asked for one.
Profen or propen?
Propen.
Propen's the heart stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Ibuprofens. I don't think he's ready for propens yet.
Yep.
Yeah, he was sticking with the profens.
Do you say that to be cute, by the way, like a 4-year-old?
I have no idea.
No, he just said it wrong.
Like how, Nick, you say Brefix?
I used to say aspirin, and I can't get past it, sorry.
Ibuprofen.
Propen.
He said.
Ibuprofen.
Mommy.
He came over to my desk, and he said, can I have an ibuprofen? I have a headache. And I said, sure. And I said, just one? I said, is that going to get rid of your headache? He goes, yeah, it's more for placebo effect than anything.
You don't do a placebo on yourself.
He does.
Placebo effect doesn't work if you know it's a placebo.
Yeah.
Placebo effect means...
It also doesn't work if it's a real drug.
He says he didn't say that.
He did say that.
Get him in.
He did say that.
Get him in.
Get him in here.
We're about to figure it out. It's time for night court.
I'm not even.
Andrew's taking chicklets. I'm going to feel better.
Okay.
Please do it there and lean over close.
I would never say, here's one ibuprofen, take it for placebo effect.
Hey, let's do this formally.
I thought it was funny that you said that.
Let's do it formally.
Okay.
Mark, you be the judge. You control this.
Okay. So, Andrew, or did you not say you were looking for the placebo effect of a ibuprofen?
Still didn't say it right.
He also asked if he was licking for it.
Yeah.
Looking for an ibuprofen. I don't think that's how judges talk.
And made big eyes like, I said it right this time.
He stuck his tongue out, which is a very judgely thing to do.
So did you say that to Andrew or not?
To Andrew?
I'm sorry, did you say that to Tony?
Your Honor?
You guys look the same to me. I can't tell the difference.
I said...
Thank you for the compliment.
I did not. You're welcome. I said, Tony, may I have some ibuprofen. I believe it's a I believe it's a ibuprofen.
Let's just call it aspirin.
Must be
shall
the
we
most
say?
Impossible word to pronounce.
Yes. Yeah,
may I have an ibuprofen?
I think it's boo-boo-profen.
And he said, certainly. How many? And I said, one or two. And he said, one or two? That's not going to do it.
Yep.
And I said, I think it'll do it for me. And then he, as I was walking away, you said, that's more placebo effect than anything. And
oh,
I said,
man, that is a good story.
Eh.
Why would
just
I
made
break
like
in,
a noise at you. If,
as an impartial party.
Why would
party,
I say that?
Can I just break in and say, I don't really know that Tony says certainly.
Not like
he's more of an of course.
Not like Curly.
When I
no,
ask
certainly
him for ibuprofen, I usually get a certainly. Of course you can't. Oh yeah, I just
so
said
you,
he said.
So you think maybe
maybe he does say
maybe the whole narrative is made up.
Maybe thought, they're just misunderstanding each other.
These are not quotes, mind you. This
I
is a
theory,
this is an interpretation.
I thought your theory was by taking an ibuprofen, you were at least tricking your body into saying, "I'm treating this headache, and now it's going to go away." And so that's why you said.
No, I took the ibuprofen so that the medicine would get into my bloodstream and numb my pain.
This is exactly what you see.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
That's why I took it. I didn't take it to trick my body into thinking that I would.
That will never work.
You said one.
It's
and
medicine.
I said only one. And you said yes. And then you said, if for nothing else, the placebo effect. And I thought that was.
So just to get
I'm
this,
starting to believe that none of this happened.
Just to get this straight. By the way,
why would I say
you should walk across the street and represent Governor Greitens?
Yes. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my client said, I would like to tape you to the parallel bars and take your photo. And she said, certainly.
Certainly.
And then you took a picture of the governor. Wait a minute. No, the governor took a picture of, I can't remember.
You two could typically a dispute like this among friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like very subtle, but the two of you are telling completely different stories.
And I didn't even mean to make a big deal out of this. I thought he had some theory that worked for him of, I don't need to take three or four. I can take one, and it sort of at least tricks my body into me saying, I took medicine, and now it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. And so I thought there was some method to the madness.
Now,
apparently,
see,
I wasn't even in the same room.
Tony's trick that he's getting right is that he's speaking the way that I speak. Like, Tony may not say certainly, but I do say things like if for nothing else than or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
all day I fail.
What's funny is that he's tricking me a little bit. Like, when he said that, I was like, oh, God, maybe I did.
I know
so,
I did.
So neither of you
would
are
never,
sure.
You have
it would
no
never.
Idea.
No, I'm sure.
You just convinced Taliban.
No. I am sure. I definitely.
He almost said certain.
I certainly did not say.
Certainly.
Whoa.
Do you take ibuprofen for
wow,
the placebo
he is
effect?
The judge.
Yep, he walked himself right into
so
it.
So what do you think,
he
Mark?
Walk him gay.
I know I have a headache. To be
I know, I
right
need
now,
an ibuprofen
to this.
Now.
I need a ibuprofen as many as I can get. For the love of God, I'm dying over here. There's something
the
lost.
Just say Advil.
What I remember
perfect
is getting the medication from you and taking it in my mouth and then walking. And
can
as
we
I
get
was
that?
Walking.
What about the medication?
Yeah, and doing
as
what?
I was, as I was walking,
was
you said something
desk.
About something that I think is placebo.
Well, he's fact heavy.
Mr. Andrew, you're saying he said
I remember a guy.
Something about something? He said something.
I see you found your headphones, Mr. Perfect Memory.
He said something about something. Oh, ouch. Something about something.
He's nagging the judge. It doesn't seem like a good strategy.
Yeah, that one, that's.
And I took it in the mouth.
The jury's not going to get over that line for a while.
He said something about something, and I was like, no. And then I remember that as I was walking away. Like, no, I'm not. I'm taking it to be medicine. And then.
So you remember being stupid.
And then I remember today.
Oh, God.
That's as far as I can get.
We're just talking about allergies and stuff. I forgot this. When I did the whole, like, I went to bed at 9:40 last night, I lied. I went to bed at about 9, and then the weirdest thing happened. So I'm 53 years old. I've had lots of colds and stuffy noses, and, you know, you deal with them. So I went to bed and got this weird stuffy nose, like very, very stuffed up. And I got like a panic attack. Has that ever happened to any of you? Like this weird, well, what if I just stop breathing?
Mm.
Like yeah. It was the strangest thing. So I got up and blew my nose and it cleared up like 75%. But I couldn't go back to bed. I'm like, if I go back to bed, I'm going to go back into the panic attack. So I just went downstairs and watched TV for a while. That's I feel so bad for people who have panic attacks. Because, as I understand it, they're tied to nothing. Nothing real. And like this last night was tied to nothing real. It's a damn stuffy nose.
Yeah.
But I felt like if I lay down, I'm going to choke to death. That was weird.
I used
to have a prescription for trazodone, and that was something that used to happen to me, as I felt like it was harder for me to breathe, and then it was therefore.
Are you saying drugs have a side effect?
Sometimes they do.
Well, thanks. And
I wish they would tell you that during the commercial.
I would get panicky like that.
You know, at least let me know that there might be a possible side effect.
Yeah, well, when you find them on the ground in the garage.
Yeah.
I bet Pippi Lofen doesn't have side effects.
Mm-mm. You take as many as you want, as often as you want.
I didn't even know what you were trying to say.
Me too. I just got it.
It took me a second.
Take them orally. You can take them.
All right. We call it Pippi Lofen from now on because that's the greatest best thing.
Pippi Lofen.
Took a shot to the mouth.
The best is when he said,
I took it in my mouth.
He said,
it was worse than a shot in the mouth.
You're right.
When he said propen and you corrected him, and then the next time he said it, he gave you the big eyes.
I got it
and
right.
Goes, yeah. And goes, I be. Profen still say,
look, Daddy, I said it right.
Look at me.
Me say words.
You're going to really bust my chops.
Yeah,
on
he
this.
Said
I'll
it was like a
right.
terrible rap album.
Ibuprofen.
Featuring Ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen.
So,
be a good name.
Couple of interesting stories. By the way, we're the think tank today. Mike Ferguson from
Missouri Viewpoint
Sundays and, Keith Antone, who I love. Keith's fantastic. Tony. And we'll talk about these stories, but I want to throw them out there here now as well. Two interesting race-involved stories. One is at Duke University, where they have this company called Joe Van Gogh that's a coffee shop, and it's like a they have the contract. So they have the contract to do all the coffee shops, and the employees were playing rap music, and there was one song called Get Paid that has lots of N words and lots of F words. And the dean of students affairs came in, heard it, said, what are you doing? This is offensive. The 24-year-old black employee said, sorry, let me give you a muffin. She said, I'll take your muffin, but I'll pay for it, and went away. And then 2 days later, the black employee found out she got fired. So now there's this huge backlash, and all these students are picketing the campus, carrying boomboxes, playing the song Get Paid.
Right.
And then in another story at Yale, a white student got up in the middle of the night and found an older, like 34-year-old, female African-American sleeping in this common area and thought that was weird and called the cops. And the cops show up and she says, I'm a grad student. And they said, okay, just show us your Yale, you know, student ID, and she said, no, I'm not going to dignify this because obviously this white girl is afraid of black people, and this is ridiculous. And so this one went on for like a couple of hours. So finally she gives in, shows her ID. They say, okay, you're free to go. And that was it. But now there's a big backlash on that saying black people shouldn't have to show ID just because white people get afraid of them. Both of those hit you, Mark Close.
And the second story, what school again?
Yale.
Yale. That's private property, and you should have to show your ID. White.
And Twitter, too. Please tweet us about this.
Right. On private property, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, at that school, and what are you doing sleeping in the common area? At like,
since she's working on a paper.
Okay. It's you know, you have to have a student ID.
Sleeping in the common area is not, people do that all the time.
Okay, but still, again, someone comes up to you, you have to prove that you're a student or you belong, and that's the safety of the students, for the teachers, for the students, so that they know. And I mean, that's why you have the locked doors and all that. And it seems to me all she has to do is go, okay, I was sleeping, I was working, here's my ID. It's done.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that the end of the story?
Well, I was saying on the break earlier, if I were that African-American student, and I would probably think it was pretty racist too, like, oh, okay, so since I'm black and since I'm older, there's no way I'm a student at Yale, so you called the police. to me, how I would handle that is I would immediately get out my ID and be like, yeah, I go to school here.
Right.
I'd turn to the white girl who called the police on me and be like, you're racist. And then I would go back to my dorm. I wouldn't create a bigger problem. I wouldn't refuse to cooperate with police because someone else called the police on me.
Because again,
that, I don't understand what that accomplishes.
I don't either. And I think she should look at it and go, it's for the safety of all the students. They just want to know that you belong there. White, black, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Was it outside police or was it university police?
Pretty sure it was university.
Okay. That's their job. It's their job is to make sure that the people that are on campus should be on campus. You show the ID, done and done.
I saw an interesting tweet. You know, these things blow up and Twitter will put up like a Twitter moment and they'll collect all these tweets from people across the world who have something to say about it. And someone was like, this is a lesson for all white women. Just because you feel uncomfortable does not mean you should call the police. You only call the police if someone's in danger. All right, fair enough. But that's in direct conflict with like the entire Me Too movement where it's like, mm-hmm. he made me feel uncomfortable, therefore he is a sexual predator. It's like, whenever we want to blur the lines like this, you can't just pick and choose when someone is a racist, when someone is a predator. Like, there has to be clear cut, like, she called the police because she didn't know what was going on. I think that's fair. Was it racially motivated? Oh, yeah, definitely. She looks like an idiot. But then the student who is actually a victim of the situation made it worse for themselves mm-hmm. by deciding not to cooperate with the police. I just don't understand that mentality.
I remember probably November after September 11th. I've told the story before. I'll tell it one more time. Being at the top of the Hancock building. They have a really nice restaurant. Made reservations. I was a little sketchy about it because of, you know, 9/11, mm-hmm. and I'm at the top of the tallest building in Chicago. And as luck would have it, four Middle Eastern young guys took a table, took out sacks of burgers they brought with them, mm-hmm. and started acting like idiots. And I knew by that time that the night before the 9/11 hijackers had gotten drunk mm-hmm. and hookers and eaten a bunch and, you know, like blew it out. At least that's the story that I'd heard. And after only like 5 minutes of it, left the table, went mm-hmm. downstairs and told the people, like, look, call me whatever, but there's four like Middle Eastern dudes up there that are losing their minds and I'm afraid. And then went back to the hotel and like just waited for the news. Waited for mm-hmm, the news of a mm-hmm. Hancock right. Tower went down in a bombing. That was 99%, 100% racially based. Mm-hmm. And most people would probably give me a pass because it was a month after 9/11, but had those been four white kids with crew cuts, drunk, and eating burgers, it would have been annoying, but I wouldn't have left. Mm. And that's kind of what like Juan Williams got fired from NPR for, was when he pretty soon after 9/11 said, I was on a plane, there were a bunch of Middle Eastern guys talking to each other across the aisle, and I got uncomfortable. You know, it's like there sometimes it does play a card. Like, for example, if there's a serial killer who's 5'4", white with blonde hair and wears a hoodie in my neighborhood, I'm not looking for black people.
Right.
I'm looking for a 5'4", white guy with a hoodie, and that's who I'm afraid of right now. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I totally agree with Rage that if all we know, and I agree with Tony, too, having been to college and law school, common areas are for sleeping.
Right, right.
right.
She's not the first person to fall asleep in a common area doing a paper. So if it was the only thing about her that was weird is that she was black, it's racist.
Mm-hmm.
But two things can be true. And to me, I don't view this as like a Rosa Parks moment or you're not going to make me leave this whites-only lunch counter. When someone says, show me your ID, and you can quickly diffuse the situation.
Yeah.
You can still call her a racist.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. And I get that you shouldn't have to, like, it must suck to be black. And you know that it doesn't suck to be black. But it sucks if you're in the situation and you know it's only happening because you're black.
Right.
And I'm sure she felt that. But just if I can give my dumb opinion as a white young woman, I would have just shown my ID and then been like, hey, look. You feel stupid now because I belong here and I can prove it right away.
I don't think asking for somebody's student ID when they're sleeping somewhere on campus is all that uncommon. White, black, or otherwise. I think that's kind of a normal.
Well, also then this happens.
A normal campus police.
If there's a really sketchy person that is really giving you the willies, then people will be less likely to call and say,
yes.
there's this person.
Right.
Whether it's, the other day, I was at a doctor's office, and a 65-year-old white woman, I know she's 65 because I heard her give her birth date to the intake person, was losing her mind. She's in a waiting room, and she's doing jumping jacks and yelling because she said she was in traffic and had to work off her excess energy. I'm afraid of that lady.
Sure.
She could start knifing people.
Right.
65-year-old white lady. Right. So if this is probably racially motivated, but sometimes you just get a spidey sense, white, black, male, female, whatever. And at some point we're going to stop saying anything because we're terrified of what the backlash would be. Welcome back, guys. Going to talk about this in more depth with my think tank panel at 5 p.m., and taking your tweets and phone calls now. People seem more interested in this case from Yale than they do Duke. The case at Yale, very briefly, a younger white student saw an older, I'm sure there are students at Yale who are my age, but she was 34 instead of like 18 to 24, and African-American sleeping in a common room, called the police. The police come, say, hey, can we see your Yale ID? And she says no, because the only reason you're asking me is because I'm black. And I believe she started taping on her phone and taped a long time and confronted the white girl that made the call. There's a picture of her out there too. And finally showed her ID, and she had a very long, weird name. And when they looked it up, it wasn't in the system. And it turns out it was misspelled. So when they say, show us your ID, she says for a couple hours, no. And they, and finally she gives it to them. They look it up and she's not in there.
Mm.
So then it's even more trouble.
Yeah.
And so finally they figure it out. It's been a misspelling. They said, thank you. You're free to go. And now it's a big deal. So what's Twitter saying?
People are wondering if the age difference has anything to do with it, which is valid. And then Daniel says, Dave is right on. As a person of color, it's a breath of fresh air to hear him acknowledge and own his racial bias. People like him being able to identify his thoughts is a step in overcoming it. Yeah, bunch of people just asking like if the age difference would have had anything to do with it.
Steven says, wasn't she like 34? She's a little past the age of a normal student at Yale. Couldn't have that been a big factor of it?
And isn't it weird, like in cases like this, like the people who know the white girl know what happened. And the people who know the black girl know what happened. It'd be like people who we know, and there are people who we know that'd be like, oh, yeah, because that guy's racist.
Right.
And we know they are. Mm-hmm. Then there'd be other people you're like, oh, I know that black girl. She just wants trouble. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't know these people.
Right.
But these people are knowable. So this white girl could just be terrified of black people, or, you know, we just don't know. Mm. But we take these cases based on the reporting, and then we form the opinions. Haley's been holding on here. Haley, thanks for holding on. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. I wanted to make a mention to something. I know you guys were talking about the black woman's attitude towards the police officer, but you got to remember one thing. We don't feel that we have to legitimize why we're at a certain establishment. And for someone to come up to us, even though, like Rachel said, it's quite simple just to hand over your ID and be done with it, the point is, why should we have to? This is something that has been going on for quite some time. And it's heartening, it's sickening, it's sad, it pisses me off, because it's like, okay, I tell my daughter, be careful, don't do this, be careful, don't do that. And I shouldn't have to have these discussions with my own child because of somebody else's stupidity and ignorance. And yes, you can't be mad at the police officers because they're only going to the calls, you know, that they have been called upon to do. However, there needs to be some repercussions. If they find out it's a race-related issue, they need to go back to the caller and charge that caller or something so this can stop, because We can't sleep anywhere. We can't go to Waffle House or whatever you want to call it. We can't, walk across the graduation stand. We get brushed off. You know, what's next?
I truly get your emotion. If I were black, I would be an activist because I'd be pissed. Like, if it happened to me, I'd be really mad. But what about the situation where this is a bad person? What about the situation where an African-American is not enrolled at Yale and they are there looking to do bad things and someone doesn't call because they're afraid of being called a racist and someone ends up getting hurt?
Okay, but they have to give you more of a reason. You know, like those two gentlemen over, I can't remember what college they were at, the Native American men, were in the tour, and this crazy woman was asking questions. And it turns out one of the guys was shy and didn't want to talk. That's not enough grounds to call the police. You know, there are more things to look at when you're trying to figure out if that person's okay or not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can see certain signals that person presents.
It kind of reminds me, Haley, of when you're picking a jury, like we keep talking about Greitens, that if I'm picking a jury and I don't like you, I have to give a reason. It has to be like, I don't like Haley because she seems like she has a bias against chiropractors. But if I just say, I don't like Haley without a reason, it's assumed that it's because you're black. So that's right. That's a part of the law now. So I guess what you're saying is, like, if you're going to call the cops on someone, have a reason other than they're black. You know what this is kind of like? It's kind of like the guys that take their AR-15s and go to Chili's for a hamburger.
Right.
Just waiting for someone to call.
Right.
And then when someone shows up and says, Turk, we talked to you, they're like, why? You better have a reason other than the fact that I have an AR-15 on my shoulder, which is like almost the opposite side of the aisle.
Right.
But similar. Haley, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's see. Boy, lots of calls. Ken, go ahead.
Hey, Dave. excuse me. I understand pretty much everything that Haley just said from her perspective, but, you know, there's been countless times throughout my life where the cops have asked me for my ID, okay? And granted, circumstances were not the same, but I agree with what Rachel said earlier, and I think you said, one of you guys said, or a couple of you, you know, show them the ID and then tell the other person, you're an idiot, okay? And call them a racist, whatever, but why sit there and haggle over that for 2 hours or an hour and a half, whatever it was? There's countless times I've been wondering, you know, cops get an ID. I'm like, why? You know, but here you go. You know, just give it to them. And if you don't have a warrant out for your arrest or some other thing hanging over your head, problem solved. So it's my two cents. I know I'm a white guy. I haven't had to deal with, you know, the type of racism. I'm sure that, you know, Haley, who seemed, like I said, an African-American from what I heard, has, but, you know, if somebody asks me for an ID, there you go.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it. Quick break. Welcome back, guys. 410 DGS. Rach, you have a DGP in you tomorrow?
I guess.
All right. I'll ride your coattails. Look for it to drop tomorrow, 3 p.m. Peppers.
And now we have to do it because we set it
on
the air.
Yeah, locked us in, didn't I?
Yep. Way to go,
smart,
Dave.
So, stupid. I believe it was on Fox News. This retired Air Force general. Whew. So John McCain, a lot of people love him, a lot of people hate him. Dude's about to die. And they were having a discussion about torture. And a U.S. retired Air Force general said, well, we know torture works because it worked on John McCain. Why do you think everyone calls him Songbird John? Because he told every secret we had. So we know that torture works. Damn.
Jeez. Yes. Calling somebody out. Wow.
Wow. He could be dead by now for all we know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a punk. Like, maybe I should be more of a man or something and just say what I mean.
That's classless. You can say something. You can make your point without using someone who's dying. You just can't. It's exactly like when Barbara Bush passed away.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, well, she was an alcoholic, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
Maybe she was. For all I know, she was. Right. Why do you feel the need to point it out right now?
Well, especially when they're at that point. And I mean, you know, McCain was a national hero, you know, for being, you know, a prisoner for that long. And who's to say anybody that if you're being held prisoner, you're being tortured. How soon you and I talk about it? It's like, this is what we're going to do. All right, give me a pad of paper. I'll write it down. You don't even have to just tell me what you're going to do. So until you're put in that situation, it's shut up.
Yeah. You'd probably start singing if they threatened to shave your beautiful mustache.
It would.
It's
start.
Coming in so nicely.
I'm going to send a picture.
For the love of God.
Going to send a picture to Chet.
Yeah, take that, Chet.
Man.
I'm just saying it looks markedly better than it did earlier in the week.
Markedly. Get it?
Yes.
It means that earlier in the week it looked like.
That's not what it means. It just means that it's coming in nicely.
Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
I understand your compliment, and these idiots we don't have to listen to.
Yeah, we get each other.
That's
what's the optimal length for you? And your mustache.
And in 5 minutes,
he'll give an answer.
Make fun of her, and she'll be like, why did I do that?
This is the dysfunction of their relationship.
I'll be like, why doesn't Mark like me? I'm always telling him how I like his mustache.
You know, listening back, sometimes I wonder why I'm really here, because you guys can discuss exactly everything I've done and I'm going to do.
Oh, when you're off, we just fill in the blanks.
I mean...
When you're off, we're just like, what do you think he's doing?
I'm curious. It's a move to just have a mustache these days.
It is. Mm-hmm.
My brother just has a mustache right now.
Why did you?
Big Dave Zimmerman.
It started as a goatee, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a move.
Oh, right. Because Fern didn't
Fern
like
did
it.
Not like That's the goatee.
It.
Here's my call.
I knew there was a reason.
Just mustaches. Justaches.
Huh?
Either work or they don't.
Okay.
There's no such thing as an in-between justache.
Okay.
I think yours is going to work.
Okay.
I'm just curious, like, what do you go big? Do you go full and bushy Tom Selleck?
Now, who is the politician with the big fuzzy white one right now that's on TV?
John Bolton.
Bolton.
Yeah.
And Fern has already told me, you're not going to Bolton. Nope, no Bolton. But that's
Michael
not happening.
Bolton.
How does she feel about it right now?
She says it looks good. She likes it. Yeah. She did not like the goatee that went. I can't.
You know why? She was threatened. He looked cool.
I think
she thought he looked too good.
That's right.
Yeah, she was worried about me getting out there.
You skulking around town and country with a goatee.
Oh yeah,
out on your zero turn.
Babe's coming on to me while I'm cutting grass. Who's the cool guy in the
chiseled
zero
arms?
Turn?
That's right. And you kind of are doing it. I don't like just a straight Tom Selleck standard. I think you should grow it down a little bit. Don't go goatee. Go a little,
like
little horseshoe.
Like the dad from O.C. Chopper?
Kind of horseshoe.
I like the, in the
quite a reference.
Really, is the Fu Manchu where it just comes, if it doesn't connect, it just comes down.
Straight down.
I'm not a big fan of Fu Manchu.
Not that far? All the way. No.
Hatred of Asians?
Something like this.
Yes.
Something like this right here. That's what I want.
Like White Goodman?
Yeah, but not, yes. Yes.
From Dodgeball?
But no soul patch. He had the patch here. And not all the way down.
Oh, please, God, grow a soul patch.
Just a little.
Just a soul
just,
patch.
Yeah.
Just bring
but
it,
not on your face.
I will be your bitch.
Just bring it down a little bit. Give yourself a little uniqueness. I think it'll
give
really
it a layer.
Look, I think it'll look good. I do. Okay. And you, I know you hate your mustache now.
Say it again. I need to grow it a little bit. Okay. Taking all the insight.
I'm not insulting.
He did it to Tony. I escaped that time because I haven't been
tell
talking.
You he doesn't care your opinion on his facial hair.
No. You know why?
But
you
I'm
know,
the bully.
The three of you talked about this. It was about a couple of months ago, and you went big time about me growing a mustache.
Yeah, we did. I remember because Tim was here.
Yeah, and you said
and
you
we pulled up the old headshot of you with the mustache, and I was like, "Wow, you look so good.
You do look great with a mustache."
Just a suggestion. You should stop coloring your hair for a while.
I don't think I could. It would be too alarming if
I didn't even know you colored your hair. I did. I never realized it. It wasn't.
No. Oh, no. I don't color my hair.
He doesn't.
I don't color my hair.
Okay.
Dave was giving
I don't know.
Dave was giving him crap.
How
Rachel,
am I supposed to
Rachel,
know?
Welcome to my world. No. I told you when I had shaved my mustache.
Was it chicken animated? Or?
I had little blue pants. When I had cut my mustache off the first time, people were coming up to me and saying, if you're coloring your hair, why don't you color your mustache? Because my mustache is white. It's not gray, it's white.
It's a great look.
And I do
it
not.
It is.
Right,
I can't wait for my beard to be white.
Yeah. I do not color my hair. It's
okay.
I know. I don't care.
And
I didn't think you did.
Thank you very much.
And I know that was your issue.
Right.
I'm going to still try to give him a compliment.
You're the boy.
It's your funeral.
I'm the carp. I'm the carp.
It's your funeral.
I'm the carp.
Just tee it up and let me know.
I know that you don't. I know that you are self-conscious this about like your white mustache. This is like a
cult where we all compete for time with the leader.
I think it looks great.
Thank you.
I think it looks great.
Thank you.
I don't think you should be worried about the difference in color between...
Because it is stark. The difference in color is dramatic.
I think it's more stark to you than it is.
Is it? Okay. Yeah,
than it
well,
is
thank you.
Anybody
I appreciate
else.
That. And I'll try it a little longer.
Dave, you say something nice.
I think it looks good, and your teachings are appropriate for all peoples. Can I be your right-hand man?
What time do we drink the Kool-Aid?
Come to me, my son. Sit at my side.
What time does the spaceship get here?
Sit on my right
side.
The
pretty girl talks bad about you when you leave.
I know.
No way.
She really thought you colored her.
That was pretty. I didn't know he colored
well,
his hair.
Sometimes Mark is very straight when he reacts sometimes. And
she
it's hard
says
to
you
tell.
Have the sexual dynamism of poultry. It's not true.
We know how she feels about chicken, so that's probably a compliment. So, yeah. If I could get him in some little blue pants. Wow.
I wish.
Just walk around.
I mean, going down Market
game
Street.
Game over for you two.
Who's the old guy in the blue pants and a white mustache?
Kelly says, what is Rachel going to do when Mark retires?
Don't even talk about it.
It's going to be bad.
Dave will bring it up once in a while, and I'm like, I'll have my panic attack, and I'm like, let's just not even talk about it right now. I don't like to think about
Grandpa is going to live forever.
Ooh, Amber on Twitter says, can we get a picture of the mustache?
Good luck.
Just the mustache.
You'll need a special camera.
Let's let it get all the way in.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, I don't like it where it comes down below the lip because then it gets in your mouth. I hate that too.
How long are you working that one? How many days growth is that?
2 weeks.
Yeah, about 2 weeks. Yeah, because I had the goatee gizmo going for about a week. So about 2 weeks.
Is your beard patchy?
No, it usually comes, but it just, like a week into it, I'm scratching like a dog.
What about here?
That too. That's very patchy.
Yeah.
You want to see?
More than you know.
Yes. Yeah, well. Let me pull down these little blue pants. I got to find some blue pants.
I thought you said you didn't dye your hair.
Yeah, some little, nice. Some little blue pants, and that'll be my new press photo.
It's strange. There's only one patch of Mark's hair that's not white.
How did that happen?
What are the chances?
What are the odds?
Riddle me that, Riddler.
Yes. And now that we have zero listeners at this point.
Oh, the pity profit.
People are running screaming from their radios. Not that I blame them.
Well, we did 10 straight minutes on Mark's mustache.
There you go.
We did the first 20 minutes on a disagreement between Tony and Taliban.
On whether or not Tony said certainly.
That's right. That's right.
Hey.
Is that a placebo? Somebody said placebo effect at some point. That is a fact.
He said something about something.
Hook me up to a polygraph test.
Yes.
I did not hand a person some ibuprofen and say, do you take this for placebo effect?
I've never heard anyone cross-examine and impeach themselves like Taliban did. Where he was going hard, then he was like, I don't know. I remember Tony said something, something, and then it was morning.
I went in, I said this, he gave me that, and I'm not sure if that really happened, but something happened.
And then I said, certainly.
He said something about something, and I was like, no, stupid.
And then I was like, and he said something weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Said something stupid.
I love how indignant he starts, though.
Oh.
It was medicine that I put into my blood veins.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I took the medicine so it would go into my bloodstream.
Then he just immediately falls.
And numb my pain.
Immediately falls. I voted for Kennedy. I certainly didn't shoot him.
Why would I hand somebody medicine and say, do you take this for placebo effect? That doesn't make any sense.
I know this is a one in a million chance.
Yeah. Do you have some weird thing that you do where you take it for
placebo? There's nothing about you telegraphing this.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. 4:30 DGS. Top of the hour, we have the Think Tank. Dave joins us from Fox 2. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
So, wow, this weather's been weird.
It
seems like we keep having the same day over and over again.
Yep. Get used to it.
Yeah. What are we looking at tonight?
Tonight we're looking at there's still a chance, just a very tiny little chance of an isolated thunder shower between now and 8 o'clock tonight. Most of us aren't going to see anything like that. 80s this evening, though, for temperatures. Woo. 65 for the overnight low, which is quite warm for this time of year. Then Friday, do it again, partly sunny. It's warm, 90 degrees. It's very windy tomorrow afternoon. Strong, gusty winds from the south. Yay. The record high on Friday is 91, so we're going to be hovering around that. Saturday and Sunday, partly sunny and warm. Not as windy over the weekend. 92 is the record high on Saturday, posting a 90 right now. Sunday, 90 again, and the record is 91 degrees. A decent shot of some scattered, isolated to scattered thunderstorms late Sunday afternoon into Sunday night. But I'm not convinced everybody will see that. So it's a dry stretch. It's a very warm stretch. Temperatures 10 to 15 degrees above average and possible record heat each afternoon.
I'm going to guess, based on Mark and Rachel suffering, that the allergy stuff's real high again.
Oh, this is terrible. Man. It's unbelievable.
It is terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, mold spores jumped today. So if you haven't had a problem the last couple of days, you got allergies to mold spores. But if you've been having problems, it's the tree pollen with mulberry, oak, sycamore causing most of the problems. Oak is all over the place. That's those long, skinny little strands that you see in your driveway. That's oak, and that's loaded with pollen. If you go and pick it up and rub it in your face, you're on your own.
Wow. I live by that rule.
Now I have to do it.
Yep.
Now you have to do it. Well,
if you
want to
eat poison,
yeah, you go do it.
I'm constantly complaining about the gumball tree in the front yard. Right now is that one special time of year where the little underdeveloped green versions of the, and they're just, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they're like that. You touch them and they just like disintegrate into poof. Powder. Yeah. And they just make you sneeze and, oh, it's gross. And
you
need
to cut this thing
it's
down.
It's just everywhere. I did cut about 8 branches out of it, so I got a little
it's
bit
still
of
growing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know.
Can't
I
stop them.
Hey, guess what else is growing? My grass.
Yeah?
Babe?
You get out there and water it?
Grass that you never watered is growing?
Damn straight.
So,
dang, you got some super grass there, bro.
And your sprinkler system is not on yet, correct?
Not until the 25th.
Okay.
Dang.
So the rain made it, it's crazy. Yeah. The stuff's growing. I'm cutting it 2-3 times a week. It's insane.
Yep, I'm doing it at least twice a week, yeah. Love it.
I'm doing it 4 times a week.
Yeah, me too.
But I get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Cut it every day.
That's right.
I go rub some oak in my face.
Yeah. I cut the grass and then I rub oak in my face.
Dave's paying a company
it's
to come
fun.
In
and I
twice
am
a week.
On my own.
I don't know. I do it myself because I love doing it.
So I'm guessing if you just are like debilitated by allergies, like the desert.
Yeah, but you know what? Like everybody used to, in the 70s, everybody said, oh, go to Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. There's no allergies. Now there's thousands of golf courses all around, and the pollen is just as bad there as anywhere else.
What about your beloved Hawaii?
No, allergies all over the place. Because think of the rain they get. Think of the things in bloom all the time. Think of the growth of the trees.
Oh, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I shouldn't have asked that. Don't think.
No, stop.
Did you know that Tony Colombo loves Kennedy?
I do.
For her mind.
Yeah. Mm. He doesn't think she's attractive at all.
No. Yeah, he was really selling that.
Dave, what was your move when you were a kid? And you liked a girl.
I had no move.
Well,
I pocket protect her with my pens. Hey, you want to see my weather wraps?
That's a great line.
Hubba, hubba.
One day I'll be a meteorologist.
Yeah. Tell it walking,
yeah,
pal.
Sure you will be.
Yep.
And a hobbyist magician.
Really?
Will you go with me?
This guy's always got a weather map behind him. It's just freaking me out.
Dave, anything happening 1 week from today?
Oh, boy.
1 week from today.
Mm-hmm. May 17th.
I don't know.
Summer Let's forecast.
Go. It's the summer forecast.
Oh, that's right.
It's your
one week. One week.
It's your
I went a lead in and I blew it. It is. It's my summer forecast.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I got nothing.
Teed you up.
I got nothing.
I look at June, July, and August for St. Louis. Yeah, I forgot all about it.
So
what
do you? It's crazy that the summer forecast is here already.
Do you start that like the morning of?
Yeah.
You know what? I start putting the show together with a rundown and everything the day after the last long-range forecast. So last forecast was spring. I start working on the summer forecast right away. It's actually, you work a little bit on it every day, and it's just not the show, it's the forecast. You just, you tinker with it. And then I'll like put it aside for a couple of days and
forget about it completely.
Stuff.
And
I think about it, and, you know, walking the dogs, I'll think, you know what? I like this idea.
And, do you have a
the dogs ever make any suggestions?
Well, not about the forecast, but they make lots of suggestions.
Yes. I think about it constantly.
Murray's crazy.
I do. I almost. Night. I do.
Yeah.
I'm a weather. I'm a weather geek. I think about it all the time.
Do you have a protege, or have you throughout your career?
The guy who really I watched, kind of my mentor, was a guy named Don Kent at WBZ in Boston. Bob Ryan was a big help to me. Used to be on the Today Show, worked in Washington a long time. I believe he's retired now. Those are the two guys who probably got me going more than anything else.
Well, how about you? Who have you mentored?
Tony.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When you look at it, you know, Chris was an intern. Angela was an intern.
Wow.
Brought Glenn in.
You brought
John
in
Fuller.
Zimmerman?
I hired, kind of a miss there.
Yeah, can't
win them all. Hired John Fuller at Channel 5.
I sat next to him at a James Taylor concert once.
Who, Glenn or John?
John, both.
Oh, he's John. Wild, man.
He is. we were cutting loose, man.
Yeah, James Taylor. Fire and rain.
I seen fire and rain. I seen rain.
The whole
sing
time.
It, Johnny.
He's seen them both.
Really? Flicking their bicks. Come on. Oh,
to the hand, the plans we made. Take it, John.
That is always weird when you see a celebrity in real life. Especially if it's something like if you ever see Skip Webber at a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Look out.
Yeah, he stands out.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, he's like...
That guy's going to have his time.
That boy loves his music.
He's like Godzilla.
And his rock and roll.
Godzilla
even,
going through the bay.
Star
he's
Wars.
He's a big boy.
That's one of my favorite moments in the history of the Dave Glover Show, by the way.
In life.
God, it's so fun.
And isn't it amazing that is now he is
I
now
was telling the
doing
story, right?
The show?
Was it how it happened?
You were telling the story.
You were telling the story of seeing Star Wars with Skip.
When you guys rented the theater.
When R2-D2 and C-3PO come on the screen during The Force Awakens, and he said, and Skip threw his Wookiee arms up in the air, and it was so cute. He was so excited.
Those big, long arms, because it was the first time that those characters had been on screen in years. You said he threw his arms in the air, and it was so cute to see him. So happy, and Mark, that boy loves his music, and he loves his rock and roll. And then it's pause, and I think I said, and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Loves his work.
And the subject at hand, is Star Wars.
We're talking about him watching Star Wars.
It was a small nap. I came out of it. And
you know, boy, loves, and you were like, and it was like, and shaking his head. That boy loves his music. He loves his rock and roll.
Excited about your show?
Star Wars.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Going to be a good one. Coming up this Saturday at 7:30. Close Encounters. 97.
You know this day?
Kind.
Close. What is this?
Yet another radio show.
Yep. It's a music show on a talk station.
With Skip Webber on Saturday night starting at 7:30.
You should call it Close Encounters with
that, though,
Webber
right?
Kind.
Breaking
you
the
tape,
rules.
You tape that. You're not there live. No way.
Dave.
What kind of talk is that?
I love it.
Why would you say that?
It's Saturday.
Is it?
Oh, Mark loves being at work, though.
He is calling you out.
And I am a party animal, as you're well
for
aware
For all
of.
We know, you may have already recorded it.
I got the Shoney's Early Bird Special. That's done by 6.
How could you possibly record something days before it aired?
Yeah.
For love of God.
That makes no sense,
Dave. That's magic.
Music. It's just music. You're not talking, right?
Yeah.
You're just
playing music. You're not giving the news.
You certainly couldn't record talk stuff.
You're not giving the news.
Music?
Well, you're not doing anything that's extremely timely.
Huh?
Or talent-based.
Uh-huh.
Did you play some
that?
Keola
I
Beamer on
that.
Saturday?
Some what?
Keola Beamer. You know that. You and I have been through this before.
I don't believe we have.
Yeah, the Hawaiian music. The steel, the slat key guitar.
One of you is having a stroke.
I know. He's big into the...
And
I know,
I think we've stumbled upon a lover's quarrel
if
right
we
now.
If we play it, and I'll have to play
we have
the,
a sampling of their awkward after sex
that's
talk.
Really, yeah. The ukulele. Because you got to call it. You got to call it then.
Every time we're having a nice night, you have to put on the Uka Slat music. Ruin my night.
Uka Slat.
Little Keola. Put a little Keola.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not something that you and Skip would listen to.
Really?
Yeah, friends
right,
over.
Exactly.
He's in a snit.
Yeah.
Anytime that music comes on,
if he hears Keola, he just loses it.
He's making a point.
Yep.
Keola. Please call it ukulele in front of him.
Yeah, I know. He'll lose his.
You got, I'm telling you, Rachel, punch up Keola Beamer. Put a little music on.
Punch him out.
I don't even know how to begin to spell that.
K-E-O-L-A Beamer.
Let's go out with it.
All right. We'll go out right now.
And you're saying it's really ukulele?
Yes.
No. It's slat key guitar.
But when you say ukulele, Dave will correct you and say it's ukulele. You don't remember that?
Sexy.
Is that
no.
Really?
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah.
Here it
goes.
Oh, there's a dude singing?
Yeah, he sings. And he's slacky and he sings.
Man, he's jamming.
Is he big and fat?
He is, and he has really long fingernails.
Good song.
You got to have long fingernails to play the ukulele.
Good point.
And a slat key, whatever the hell that is.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, top of the hour. We have the Think Tank. Right now, we welcome Michelle Corey to the show. Hi, Michelle.
Hello, Dave.
So we have a furniture maker out there that's doing people wrong?
That's right. So the BBB is warning consumers to exercise extreme caution before doing business with Rough Country Rustic Furniture. Now, this is a Missouri-based manufacturer of handcrafted gun concealment and rustic furniture. Consumers say that nationwide they're just fed up that the company fails to deliver their goods or issue refunds when they have requested it. In the last 3 years, more than 1,200 complaints and negative reviews have been filed here at the BBB about this company. It has an F rating, and even though the company has lots of excuses on why they're not delivering furniture, it continues to take new orders.
I don't know why that one made me sad. Like, I just always think about, like, craftsmen as being like the salt of the earth and like the, you know, foundation of America. And I want better from them.
Yes. Yes.
So for all things better business, go to BBB.org. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks, Dave.
Got a 5-minute corner
sure.
in you?
I believe so. This morning I was planning my next vacation. And
are you going to go on this one?
I believe I will.
Good first step.
Yep. Got it all lined up.
I feel like you're already on vacation with the beautiful beach backdrop on the
TV
today.
Take a picture of that. Yeah.
That's where we're going. We're going to a beach area.
Oh, that
sweet.
One? It's beautiful.
It is. I don't know if it is
just
that
just jump
one.
Into the TV.
That's it. Now just float along.
You can see you and your tiny white ass running out into those waves.
You want to follow up on that? Or are you good?
Sometimes the tension between you two.
He's speechless all of a sudden. So anyway, I'm thinking about my vacation and where I'm going to go. And there's a million different resorts and hotels to stay at. Then there's a million different car rentals to go through and a million different plane, you know, flights and all that kind of stuff. And I started thinking about it. I'm at a point in my life where I don't want decisions. I want to be a kid again where I don't have to make decisions. The whole idea of free choice, I get it. But that was one of the great things about being a kid. We talked a little bit about children yesterday. When you don't have to make a decision, you want to, but in the back of your mind, you really don't. In other words, the whole idea of someone going, okay, I know some people friends of mine have gone to Europe, and some of them just get in a car and drive, do things on their own. Some of them go like on the guided tour, which to me doesn't sound like a bad deal because this is what time you're getting up. You get in this bus. We're going to take you here. We're going to go there, and you've got your itinerary. You know where you're going. But then you don't have to, you can enjoy it more and not worrying about.
I'll book you a vacation. But then you'd bitch.
What?
If I booked you a vacation. Like, if you don't want the decision,
right.
You could leave it to the three of us.
Sure.
We'd find
Please
you something
leave
really
it
nice.
To the three of us.
But then you'd get salty.
You should hire a
travel agent.
Or that's what they do, man.
Right. No.
I used one when I went to Mexico, and it was like the easiest
thing
ever.
Yeah, but he's saying he doesn't want to think about it. You still have to tell the travel agent what you want.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
But just the kind of stuff you like, and they build it for you. Our travel agent with Disney did an amazing job, and we didn't have to sit there and go, oh gosh, what time do we do this? What time do we do that? It was awesome. It took all that.
Well, now you tell me.
Great. Decision making out of it. Is it too late?
Yeah, I booked
Mark,
it already.
Mark, you had a travel agency. That's what that's what travel agents do.
I know.
Maybe he thought they didn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I felt bad about it.
That he was the first and last.
Yeah.
This will never take off.
Mm-hmm. You want a percentage to do what?
I don't know. That's there was insane. A lizard
so
in
where
a
are you going?
Going
to go to
I forgot about that.
What was that?
There's a giant lizard in the shower. Oh, and Fern screamed.
Fern was losing her mind and told me to fly her home immediately. She's like, I'm going home now. And I go, good luck.
I just love good picturing luck. The lizard like.
Yep. And then everybody, then the water.
You and your 100 people, right?
Yep, in Jamaica. Then the water, we're there and Fern's halfway through her shower. First the lizard, she's screaming. I get the lizard out. We rephrase that.
Wow.
Jeez.
Hey, it was.
Thank God the think tank is coming up.
It was our vacation. What can I say?
That happened in the wrong order.
And then she's there.
Man, when she starts screaming,
Fern is screaming.
Lizard comes out.
Oh, yeah. And that pretty much takes care of all the business.
Hold on.
Anything for the love of God. And then she brought the other 100 people in and were on the trip. It was amazing. They didn't realize that was part of the itinerary.
Hold on, honey. Give me a minute.
All right. It works every time. Still to this day. It just always, oh man, that didn't come out right. After I removed the lizard.
The lizard?
She's there and she's got her, she's washing her hair and the water completely stops. You hear like, and the pipes, and now she's losing her mind.
That's it?
And then we look outside.
In the middle of this great story.
I'm sorry.
And there's 50 people in the swimming pool bathing with soap and water in the swimming pool. That was Close Encounters.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Thursday to you. My favorite thing we do all week. The Think Tank, a few minutes past 5 p.m. We have a couple of veterans. Tony Colombo, who obviously is always here doing
Thanks
the weekend report. Oh, hey, Tony. Didn't see you there. And Keith Antone from Praise 95. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, I should say good afternoon.
You have a slot for me over there yet? You talking to management?
Who?
Me.
You?
Yeah, my contract's up, dude. I could come over to Praise 95 anytime.
Praise 95, yeah.
I don't think we can afford you, Mr. Glover.
And making his first appearance on the Think Tank, Mike Ferguson, who's probably not a stranger to most of you, but first time on the air here from Missouri Viewpoints. Mike, good to see you. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're always crossing paths.
Yes.
Especially in the old building. And
yep.
Okay, so let's start. My gosh, we have probably more to get to than we actually can today. Let's start with some good news. 2 a.m. last night, President Trump and Vice President Pence welcomed back three Americans being held in North Korea. I happened to be watching CNN, and I think the direct quote was, you know, the president can trot out as many shiny things as he wants. And I'm like, hold on, what? Seriously, we're going to call American human beings being released shiny things? Like, I get your point, but come on. At some point, don't we all have to rally around something?
They were doing it live. I was watching it live last night, and I didn't watch Fox News because I knew exactly how they were going to cover it. I wanted to see how CNN and MSNBC were covering it. And when it was happening live, it was mostly respectful and, you know, this is a great thing. But they were definitely taking their shots of, you know, the president doing a bit of grandstanding now, and the way that they had like a couple of fire trucks with an American flag propped up between the two of them. They were like, you know, a lot of staging went into this event because the president is so, you know, optics is so important to him, and he wants to make sure this all looks good. It's like, really? That's what you're going to report on right now?
Is your gut tone, either your memory or your gut, that Fox would have done the same thing to Obama? Had he had a moment like that, or what he did?
There are
like the killing of Bin Laden.
Certain pundits on Fox would have absolutely done that. But usually at 3 a.m., it's not editorial. It's usually pretty much straight reporting because, you know, the big opinion people are not there at 3 in the morning. But these. So it wasn't even people that I recognized or knew who they were, but you know, they were still getting those little shots in at the president.
Come on, guys. Let's face it. This guy is a reality TV star posing as a president. At the end of the day, I'm surprised he didn't tell him to, hey, fly around D.C. for a couple of hours and land at 6. So we can get more folks to see me standing there. It was as staged as it could possibly be. I mean, here he is at 3:00 in the morning. He needs a win. I am excited. And let me say, Mr. Glover, I am very excited that he did bring home 3 Americans. Now, that cannot be denied. That was very noble. And anytime we can have save American lives, that's a great thing. But this was all a publicity stunt. He is trying to make sure that we can stay away from the Russian collusion and Miss Stormy Daniel and all of the other things that he's done. He is just trying. It was to take attention away from what's really going on up there in Swampland.
So you think this is equivalent to Clinton firing off a few missiles during the Monica Lewinsky?
Absolutely. I mean, come on. Even with that, Clinton had to have something to stop talking about him and his and his escapades in the White House. Absolutely. You do that. That's just the way it goes, right? I mean, that's the way it goes. And, you know, publicity, not all publicity is good publicity, especially when you're a politician who's fighting for not his political life, because this guy's going to be okay whether or not he's in the White House or not, right? He's going to be okay. He won't be in the poverty line with some folks.
Yeah, I don't care who the president is. This is something we should celebrate, whether it's Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or George Bush or Donald Trump. You know what? I say stage away. I say maximize the celebration. It's one of the few things that we can all unite around and agree with, and it doesn't have to be political on that. So to me, if it's staged, great, stage it. If you want to wait till 6 a.m. and have him come in from circling the city in the airplane, do it, as far as I'm concerned. It gives us a little reprieve from all of the tension everywhere else.
Because this is the guy that says he wants to spend millions of dollars on a military parade to go walk, you know, so he can stand
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, by the way. I'm with you on that.
We got people that are hungry and homeless in this country and without health care, and he wants to have a damn parade.
He did very much in Trump fashion last night at one moment yell at the camera, like, as reporters were taking pictures and asking questions. The networks have never had these kind of ratings at 3 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
There you go.
Continuing with North Korea, my gut is, and I think everyone will give me that I'm pretty even-handed on criticizing the president, but my gut is he's going to score another touchdown and spike the ball come June 12th. I think this is what he's good at. I think something got to Kim Jong-un. Maybe we send a ninja in to whisper in his ear at night. I don't know what. Something got to him. I don't think people are talking about, well, now we backed out of the Iran deal. Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un doesn't give a rat's ass about what we do with the Iran deal. We got to him. We made him a deal. He's happy as a clam. And I think this is going to be really good. Mike, you agree?
Yeah, we're talking about North Korea or Iran or both.
Let's talk about North Korea first.
Yeah, first, yeah.
And then let's segue into
Iran. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's clearly a win. Absolutely a win. And it's a weird thing is that Kim Jong-un gets to save face in his own country. And so, yeah, I don't expect him to get feisty on just about anything for a while. And it clearly de-escalated the area. And, you know, it was, 6 months ago we're hearing, we're going to have nuclear war. We're going to have World War III all out of North Korea. And I was one of those that said, yeah, I don't know about this, but once again, the president managed to pull out a win on that. I don't know how he's doing all of it, but he did it on this one. You know, what's going to happen in the other cases? I don't know, but it's clearly a win for the president.
Could it be as simple as he is finally standing up to bullies? I know that global democracy is much more complex than that, but at the very bottom of it, could it be that he's the first president in decades to really stand up to bullies?
I think he made some threats that people believe he'll back up. You know, his tough talk of,
and partially because he's a little cuckoo,
yeah,
which is not a bad thing right now.
Right? Yeah, I want you to. You've struck out 5 in a row. The next one, I want you to hit the guy in the side of the head.
Hit the bull.
Exactly. Hit the bull, man.
Hit the bull.
That's right.
Exactly.
Hit the bull.
Hit the bull. And sanctions like we've never seen before. So I think that he has shown that tough talk and backing it up can create positive results that you're looking for instead of trying to just be really nice all the time.
Now, one analogy Pigpen, who, God love him, used to be my associate producer, oh, yeah. We used to play poker. And the first night, he never folded. He never folded once, and he cleaned us out.
Yep.
Because we didn't know what to do with a guy that never folds.
Yep. Yep.
Second night, he didn't win a hand.
You realize that it was all bluffs.
But that first night, he took home everyone's money. And it kind of reminds me of that.
Right.
At some point, someone's going to go, okay, Chief, let's call this
bluff. Well, guys, I have to say that, you know, regardless of whether you're a Trump fan or not, I am saying he's got the biggest set of you know what I've ever seen. And he does. I mean, he says and does what he wants. Excuse my French. He just does what the hell he wants to do. And that's one thing I admire about him, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have to agree with your politics, but I like his bravado. I love the fact that he says and does what he wants. I do think this might backfire a little bit. I think he's going to get played like a, you know, like a violin on this particular deal. I can't trust what did he call Little Rocket Man? I can't trust Little Rocket Man as far as I can throw him. That's me personally, guys. I think it's going to look good on the surface, but for some reason, I think that little sucker is going to do something cross and double. He's going to double cross him. Something is. I mark it. Mark this day down. He's going to double cross him, and he's going to do something where it's going to make Trump and the United States.
It may just be in his nature.
It's in his nature.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
How are we feeling about the Iran deal? Keith, you a fan of him pulling out? You wish he would have stayed in?
I think he should have stayed in. I don't think, again, I think this guy's a reality show star posing as a president. What makes him, where does he think all of a sudden he gets off where he's the smartest man in the world? Why aren't other countries following? Again, I think this is a stunt he's doing, and he's going to just stand up and he's going to have his bravado and he's pulling out.
Okay.
I think it's
okay.
Wrong. I think, Tony. I think this is the wrong move to make at this time.
Okay, that's fine. But the whole he's going to stand up and be the strongest guy in the isn't that exactly how the deal got put into place in the first place? Because Obama knew he didn't have Trump wouldn't even be able to do this right now if Obama would have had this all ratified by Congress. He and not by executive action.
Obama couldn't have done anything, and you know that his hands were tied. And you know,
well, he didn't even have the support of the Democrats. He didn't even have Democrat support in Congress.
Absolutely.
He just decided he was going to do it himself because he was smarter and he knew better than everybody. So what's the difference of Trump saying the exact same thing?
Well, I think it's timing.
It's not like Obama had the whole country on his side.
He didn't. And I wasn't, and I still think he did very little, as far as I'm concerned, for African Americans. I really think he did very little. Now, let me just put that out there. But let me say this about this deal. This is another Trump campaign promise that he made that he's going to stand on, that he's going to pull out. Anything that had Obama, if Obama was the inventor of air and oxygen, Trump would want to have it reversed. let's just call it what it is. He wants to stand up and say, look, I'm a man of my word, and Obama couldn't get the deal done, so look at me. Obamacare, look at me. Anything that had Obama's name near it, he was totally against it, and he was going to do it. This is a campaign promise kept. That's all this is. He didn't put any thinking into it. Why aren't the other countries bailing? Why aren't the other countries coming out here and following suit? No, we are, and Tim McCain said it best. The Democrat senator from West Virginia said it best. Instead of America first, it's America by herself. It's America alone. And we are the only ones out there. And you can't tell me Donald Trump is that damn smart.
I don't think that you can say he didn't think it through. This is highest stakes possible. My guess is what he's going for is he says he's going to bring these guys back to the table. Almost everybody, 60% of Congress at the time said this is a bad deal. We couldn't get it, as Tony said, ratified on there.
Including Chuck Schumer.
And all this deal did was put a pause on uranium enrichment towards nuclear weapons, but we've also got espionage now that shows that they were still working towards enriching it anyway. They were violating some aspects of the deal in the first place. So what you're doing right here is you're seeing the president say, okay, I'm pulling out. I'm not, whether we call a bluff or not, he's trying to bring them back to the table for another deal, and he's going to put the hurt on them for a little while. Gas prices are going to go up for a little bit, though, because of this.
All right, quick break. Right back with more Think Tank after this. Welcome back, guys. It's the Think Tank. We have Mike Ferguson from Missouri Viewpoint, Tony Colombo, and Keith Antone from Praise 95. Let's pick up right there. Mike, the last thing you said was, now gas prices are going to go up, but I think it's hard to overestimate how tiny people are, that we can all say, like, yeah, screw Iran. They should have never taken our hostages in 1979. How much again? You know?
Yeah. And, exactly. Yeah. It's what affects you. I mean, what affects you in the immediate term. So there's going to be, I mean, right here in St. Louis, I mean, Boeing right now has, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in deals with Iran for building aircraft that are at risk in a best case scenario. So I think that this, there will be some short term gut punches on this. I don't know if in the long term, if this is going to be the right decision or not. But when you have a really bad deal, and I think what Trump is doing, as we talked about, his gravitas, and for good or for ill, he's saying, I'm going to drop the hammer. I'm pulling out. I'm pulling through. And it may force people, like in North Korea, force people to go, oh, crap, I don't know what this guy's going to do. We better get back to the table.
Let me take a hard left turn. In the last segment, Keith brought up that, hey, nothing to see here. All the president's doing is undoing Obama, Obamacare and health care. And it hit me, we haven't said health care in months. Mm-hmm. I mean, 4 months, it was the only thing we talked about. And it's the whole world is going to live or die by Obamacare. And then it didn't. And now we never talk about it. So what happened? Were we wrong?
I think the president's done a good job of keeping the news cycle off of that because it's a failure. I mean, he will every now and then, as he's listing his achievements, he'll talk about getting rid of the individual mandate. And, you know, he'll say, which, you know, basically ended Obamacare, although it didn't. So he'll throw that in there from time to time. But he keeps the news cycle off the negatives. And that's probably the biggest perceived failure that he's had, is not being able to repeal it. So I think he's done everything he can to keep us talking about other stuff.
Well, when it comes to news coverage, I mean, what's more fun to talk about? A bunch of spreadsheets on health insurance deductibles and rates, or Stormy Daniels in a low-cut dress? I mean, what sells more papers?
I'll
what
take Stormy Daniels for $50. Yeah,
there you go. Did we overestimate what a big deal?
$50 maybe all it takes. I don't know.
Did we? Yeah, she stepped on Cheetos for $20. Did you see that? She said, I'll do anything for money. And they said, well, step on those Cheetos. I guess it was like a Trump illusion. And she's like, I'll do anything for money. I thought, don't say that when you're heading in to testify.
Yeah.
So did we overestimate how big a deal healthcare was, either way, good or bad? I mean, life went on. And
well, let me speak from a personal experience as an entrepreneur. Okay. Let me just say this. The one thing that I can point and tip my hat to Obama was that with the Obamacare, I was paying about $300 a month for my entire family, right? It wasn't the best coverage, but it was better than I had as an entrepreneur, right? As about a year into his administration with Trump, I get my new health care bill, and it shot up to $1,800 a month. So all I can say is, for people like myself who are entrepreneurs and people that counted on it and people that were actually saving, it did more good than it did bad.
See, I had the opposite experience.
I did too.
First year, my insurance was affordable under Obamacare. The next year, it doubled. The next year, it tripled. Doubled, then tripled, to the point where I couldn't afford it. I had to take the payment. All I could find for my daughter was the emergency room only coverage, which doesn't count under Obamacare. Obamacare personally cost me thousands of dollars.
And I didn't say it was the best. It was a Band-Aid on cancer. Let's just call it. We have not yet perfected it, and I still don't think it's perfected under the Trump administration either.
No, not at all.
I agree.
I agree.
I just, to me, being, you know, a conservatarian type, I say, listen, we've tried going partially in and socializing medicine. For a whole lot of people, it really screwed up a lot in a lot of sectors. To me, it's like, listen, guys, there's a market in there somewhere, even for secondary insurance. Let's look at getting the government out of this as much as we can.
Yeah, we're not talking about it now, and we haven't been talking about it for a while, but it's coming back. It has to, because it's a mess. So at some point, it's going to be back front and center.
And this is the smartest country. I believe we've got some of the greatest minds in the world right here in America. And I do think that we can get a fix. I mean, you can look around at other countries that have some form of health care that they provide, you know, and I do think that we'll get a handle on it. I just think that when you politicize it, nobody's going to budge, because then, you know, you're drawing a line in the sand and you're not going to get the parties to come to the table. I tell you when we're going to get some folks that are going to be very interested. When we take health care away from senators, representatives, and people at the highest levels, when we take that, and they have to start paying out of their pocket, their personal pockets, then maybe it will become a major issue or concern for them, because then they'll understand how us little people feel.
So let's go back to Stormy and Avante and Michael Cohen. Mm. Michael Cohen fascinates me. First of all, he looks stupid. I mean, I know the looks aren't everything, but he looks like he got kicked in the face by a mule. He just does not look bright. And having been an attorney, I obviously became the wrong kind of attorney, because when you can get people paying you $500,000, $1.2 million because you know somebody, that's the kind of attorney you want to be. So what is your guts on what's here? We have some facts. We have some, like Avante accused the wrong Michael Cohen on a couple of things. But we know enough that you probably have a smell on your nose. What's your smell, Keith?
Well, I think this guy is from what I see, I think this guy is going to he's gonna flip on the president, because the president has played him like a plum fool and an idiot, and he's got nothing to lose at this point. I think he's gonna flip. And you're right. I think I would have went into law as well, because this guy's getting paid as he's more of a consultant and a friend of, you know, how many people will pay me because I'm a friend of Dave Glover's, right? I wonder how much money I can get for that deal.
Let me tell you, it pays. It pays to know Dave. Big time.
You know, it pays to know Dave.
You know when I got worried
I'm
about him?
I'm just an acquaintance, not a friend.
When I got worried about him was when he said, I would take a bullet for the president. Yeah. We've seen enough movies. The guy that says that's the guy that flips.
And the president is always like, I barely know the guy.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no. And then how he embarrassed him at his son's birthday party, right? He's like, hey, I wasn't even going to come here, but, you know, Mike's calling me and getting me all worked up. I wasn't even going to come. I mean, this guy has plagued you like a
strange relationship.
Idiot. I mean, that is very strange. And all of a sudden, you're taking all this heat for him because you're going to go and you're going to trade those pinstripes in for prison stripes, my man. He will do some time, even if he flips on the president.
Other than stuff like Stormy Daniels, which I see a usefulness to, is if you're going to do stuff like that, you need a fixer. Here's your fixer. Okay, I got it. Other than that, I don't see a benefit to the president, though. Like Michael Cohen getting rich from AT&T and places like this, I can't find a scenario in my brain where that helps Trump. To me, that's something that, hey, that's on him. He's doing it. If he's trading on my name, that's his problem, but I never gave him special access. Because Trump doesn't need it. Trump can call anyone and get them in the Oval Office or keep anybody out.
But he can. But the thing is, if you position yourself as I am the gateway to Mr. Trump, then there is a way that you can get paid. I mean, you know, there are so many people I know in my business world that will say, hey, I can get you access to. I may not be able to write a check, but I can get you access to. So I think it wasn't that Trump needed him for that. I think he needed to be able to have an association. I understand this guy just wants to take pictures with him. Yeah. And he needed to be able to say, hey, I'm with the Trump, you know, I'm with the Trump organization, because I can't. I'm like you. I mean, this guy looks dumb as a bag of rocks to me. I mean, when I see him, I'm like, what bar? How did he pass the bar, right?
So right now, I would say the overall average liberal conservative give a crap about Trump nailing porn stars is about a 2. Like, no one really cares. The left cares because they want to use it against him. The right only cares the taxes are going down. But let's say that Avante's right and Cohen's paying off dozens of women. Does it go to a 3 or does it go to an 8? Does the more really matter? Like with Crichton, everyone said, more people come out, it's going to be a big deal. I'm not sure it is with Trump.
I don't know. I mean, if the number gets, it certainly hurts Melania. It certainly hurts the first lady, you know, and that relationship and the through the public eye. I mean, not internally. But this, I don't mean to do any foreshadowing here, but this group of people, Avante, Stormy Daniels, Cohen, it reminds me a lot of the Greitens situation, where it seems like there's no good guys.
Agreed.
It's just a bunch of creepy, gross people.
Agreed. Yeah.
There's nobody to root for.
But I agree with you, though, Dave, when you said it just goes to a 3. I mean, come on. We all know what this guy's been. He's been doing this forever, and he has never, ever, ever shied away from it. We've got him on tape. I thought that the nail in the coffin was grab her in the on the bus. I thought that was for sure he was done, right?
We all did.
But if you can survive that, I don't think it's anything you can do other than – I believed him when he said I could shoot somebody in the middle of the street in New York and kill him, and wouldn't nothing happen to me. I believe him.
Quick break, right back with more of the Think Tank. Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Thursday. We have Mike Ferguson here from Missouri Viewpoints, Tony Colombo, Keith Antone. So Tony just finished that segment saying, like, I think Avante and Stormy and Trump, this whole thing is as seedy and skeezy as the Governor Greitens, which is never good when you're saying, like, you know what is really, really gross? The governor. So
he's kind of gross.
Jury selection starts today. Trial starts Monday. What do you think? Where are we at? Like, Mike and I were talking off the air. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell.
Yeah.
He's convicted of this. I wouldn't be surprised if Judge Burleson rules against the prosecution after they finish. I'm not sure that he's even has to put a defense on just based on what it's based on. But then the second felony coming down the pike, I don't see how he gets out of that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think he walks on this charge. Kim Gardner's office has admitted, we don't have the picture. We don't have evidence that there was a picture. We've got somebody who never wanted to file a police report, didn't file a police report, didn't want to testify, didn't want to be involved in it, and the judge has already indicated there are going to be sanctions against the prosecution for the way that they've done this. And bring into the count that Kim Gardner said, hey, I think we need to delay this trial. Let's do it, oh, I don't know, the Monday before the general election in November. And you've got clearly a witch hunt. Now, that doesn't mean, did he do it? Did he not do it? I don't know. I'm not saying he's innocent, but I'm saying is just, Tony, as you just said, there are bad guys aplenty in this entire saga. I don't see any way he is convicted on this. However, when we talk about the misuse of the charity fundraising list, yeah, that one, that's the one. If I were Eric Greitens, first of all, I'd be buying flowers for my wife every single day of the week. But secondly, I'd be worried about that one.
If I was Eric Greitens, I would have stepped down. I wouldn't have took my family. First of all, I would have never have had any mistress in my home. Yeah. I think in my days, and I've been married before, and I've been a cheater, right? But there was a code of ethics that, you know, at least some of us cheaters had, right? I mean, you just don't take your mistress to your home. I mean, and then you don't slap her around a little bit too, right? So at the end of the day, here's what I'm saying. I think that he may walk and he may not get, you know, he does walk, but I think he's politically spent. And I said it in this era of the Me Too era, it's not about her and being able to be believable. It's that we're in the Me Too era and there's going to be people. He is not going to be any good to anybody. His political career is done and his looks like his nonprofit career in life is done.
See, I don't think Me Too is what's going to do him in.
I don't think it would have. I think if this was 5 years ago, I think this would have got swept under the rug. There's no picture. There's no evidence. I think if it was 3 years ago, but in this era of the Me Too and all of this going on with Weinstein and all of these other guys, I'm telling you, I believe that this is why it's getting so much attention.
You know how when people die, they have like a quote, I'm going to do my best that when Keith passes away, his quote is, if you're going to cheat, don't take him to your house and don't smack him around.
Hey.
That was amazing.
That's amazing, right? If you're going to cheat, right?
Have the ethics. The ethics when you. No, Eric Greitens' problem is not the Me Too movement. Eric Greitens' problem is that pretty much the entire state legislature hates him, especially in his own party.
Yes.
That's his problem.
Well, and
that's one of the problems. I'm sorry, Tony.
No, you're fine. And you look at Greitens and Trump, we've been talking about Trump and Stormy Daniels and all his. The difference there is Donald Trump never purported to be this golden knight that was infallible and was his sole focus and dedication was to his religion and his family. And when a person like that tells everybody that he's perfect, when it's exposed that he's not, then it hurts a lot more than somebody who's like Trump, who never claims to be perfect, who just says he is who he is. So something like this happens to Donald Trump, it doesn't hurt nearly as bad as it does Greitens. And I agree with both of you that I don't know that this case necessarily gets him convicted of anything, but as the testimony comes out and we hear all these stories again, and it's because you know it's going to be highly, highly publicized, it's going to just damage his credibility. That on top of the creepiness with John Bruner, the controversy surrounding the text messaging app, the Confide stuff, The mission continues. Donor list, which is the next felony come down the pipe, which I agree with you guys. I think he is a goner on those. I think they've got him on that all the way. He is beyond damaged goods. He's done, and I'm with Keith. I don't know why he has not stepped down yet.
Do you think he's still?
I don't think he knows it. I really think that he's taken a hit. He's going to fight through it to show everybody what a fighter he is. I think he would probably admit that it will take some time, but I think he believes he can rehabilitate his image, and he can't. He's done. He's done, and he's lost his ability to lead.
He can't be that big of a plum fool, can he?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Why hasn't he stepped down?
We're coming at it.
Why hasn't he stepped down?
Four very different political orientations, and that's one thing we all agree on. Right. Is he's done?
I mean, and you know, I've had the variety of shows that I've produced and hosted over the course of the campaign, and now I'm one of the hosts that he turned down every single time. I have never actually met him. You know, I do know he has some good people on his staff who are going to be tainted career-wise by him. Yeah. Maybe he does realize that he's done. He's never going to be president. I don't know. Maybe he realized that,
why wouldn't he step down? If he realizes that he has lost his ability to lead, he's not going to make a comeback, then why continue to drag yourself and your family through all this highly public? Because things around him get a lot quieter if he steps down.
Yeah, the only thing I can guess is that he's fighting for some kind of credibility to continue to write books, be a pundit on Fox News, maybe get hired to teach course as an adjunct. Because if you can avoid a conviction, then you can go teach it at some university.
Some little small radio station in rural Missouri will hire him, and he'll have a talk show. He'll do books. Yeah. He can come back and say, "Look how I rebounded and how I changed my life." Right? Mm. Okay. I'm serious. I think that this guy, he's thinking, okay, I know I'm never going to ever be anything else. He's never going to ever be anything else politically. Politically.
I'm not sure he believes that.
Yeah, I really do. I think he's looking at the next steps. I think he writes books. I think he can come on and do some. People are going to love to talk to him. He can do radio. I'm serious. I think this guy is looking beyond. I think he knows he's done, and I think he's got to look at how am I going to provide for my family.
But going forward. To what you just said, Tony, to do that, he's got to continue.
He's
got
to continue. He's
got to
fight.
Family.
He's got to fight.
Yeah.
And if it's a 1% chance, he's got to fight and say, "Listen, see what I've been through. Now look at me. I'm over here now feeding little children in Africa." Okay. I mean, it's going to be a story. The guy still is a remarkable story up until this point. I mean, how he got to the governor's office, what he's done. He was on a path of at least trying to get to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
There's some chance that he's the next governor who goes to jail.
Yeah.
Because this second felony is still a felony.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it looks as strong as this one looks weak.
I saw a great quote on Twitter from somebody that I work with occasionally in my full-time gig, one of the political consultants on the right. He said about a week ago, almost nobody ever goes to jail for a first-time white-collar offense, but a whole lot of people go to jail trying to cover it up.
Amen. Yep. Always a cover-up. Quick break. Right back. One more segment. Welcome back, guys. One more segment here in the Think Tank. Mike Ferguson making his debut from Missouri Viewpoint. Keith Antone from Praise 95. Tony Colombo always with us. Let's talk a little bit of race relations. We had the two African-American gentlemen taken out in handcuffs from Starbucks probably a month ago now. Just recently, I don't know if you guys know about these two cases. I just read about them this morning. At Duke University, there is a coffee shop called Joe Van Gogh, and it is a contract. So they get the contract. They have coffee shops at Duke. And the other day, the head of student affairs walked into Joe Van Gogh, and they were playing a song, and they were playing a song called Get Paid, which is a rap song that features the N-word and the F-word. And the dean of students said, "What are you doing?" And the African-American girl was managing said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Is that inappropriate?" And she said, "Yes." Tried to give her a free muffin. She said, "I'm going to pay for it." 2 days later, fires the 24-year-old African-American girl. And now there are protests where everyone is outside this woman's office with a boombox playing Get Paid, saying that the F-word and the N-word, it's culturally appropriate. It's appropriation. It's cultural appropriation to not play it when there are African-American students around. So this is our next plant the flag and take a position.
This is Mental Twister. I'm trying to keep up with who I'm supposed to feel sorry for and defend, and who I'm supposed to be mad at of these things. You know what? I mean, listen, Duke. Now, first of all, Duke's not a public university, so Duke can set whatever rules that they want. But does nobody else on Duke's university say the F-bomb? I mean, is the N-word not debated in other areas? I mean, these are college kids, and Duke's a prestigious university. Are they so afraid of words that we're going to fire people and punish them financially? Even when they said, oh, I'm sorry, did that offend you? I'll fix it. To me, this is looking for to make something out of nothing. Listen, there are plenty of words and places I know I'm going to hear stuff I don't like. So, you know what? I may choose not to go there.
It's a free market.
I'll let my dollars do that.
If enough kids don't like that song, they won't buy coffee.
Right.
Tone?
Yeah, I certainly think that there are still serious race issues and problems that we can talk about. I don't think it's as bad as some in the media will portray it to be. This one seems like somebody's really reaching and trying to create a story where there's not one. I mean, it's just...
But it sounds like you and Mike are both saying it's on the side of the non-African American, that it's on the side of the head of student affairs who's making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think the African American students who are protesting are making too big a deal of it? As cultural misappropriation, not letting us have this music?
Yeah, the whole thing is silly. Just, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just one of them things. I'm sitting here even looking at reading the story. It just seems like busybodies trying to get in the news.
Social, political busybodies, Keith.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as the only African American on the panel, and but at 57 years old, there's appropriate language and an appropriate time to when you use that language. I think this could have been used as a teaching moment. I think that when she did that, a lot of times I'm the father of five, right? My youngest is 18, and he'll graduate this Sunday from CBC, right? And there's language and things that he says and does that I would have to just make it a teaching moment. But I think that you're right. I think that it borderline silly. Now, for them to act as if this is cult, the N-word to me is never acceptable. Never. Ever, ever, ever. I don't care in music. It's
Amen.
Just never acceptable. So on a college campus, I think there's times when you can say, okay, I go with the freedom of speech. You know, like I was one with Kanye. I was okay when he said, hey, I support Trump. I love Trump, whatever. But I thought he was asinine when he made the statement about black people chose to be slaves. Who does that? That was asinine, right? So even in this situation, I think at the end of the day, they could have made it a teaching moment. Them protesting now, again, in this, you're able to freedom of speech and this, that, and the other. But I think it's a time and a place for everything, and I think it could have been a teaching moment versus getting blowed out of the water here where, you know, now they're going to march about, yeah, this is just us. No, it's nothing about that in my culture. And when I grew up, it was nothing about that that says African-American.
What should have happened is they're playing music that could be deemed offensive by
Absolutely.
Certain customers. So the manager comes in and says, look, that's it. We don't play this music anymore,
exactly.
You know, because it could be offensive to anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah, so this doesn't happen in our establishment. If it happens again, you know, there's going to be some discipline.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends. That's how normal businesses and normal people handle situations
That's a teaching
moment. They don't start protesting.
I grew up a heavy metal fan, still love me some heavy metal, and there are songs I'd never play in my place
in
of business.
Business.
Why?
Right.
Because it's going to run off customers. You know, if you want to be open to business, then cater to your customers. And to me, making this into a political thing and I can't tell, okay, you're misappropriating my culture by not appropriating it by appropriating here. And I'm thinking, okay, our university system, and I'm married to a college professor, our university system has lost its just ever-loving mind.
How about this one? Yale University, a young white female student gets up in the middle of the night and finds a 34-year-old African-American student sleeping in a common area, calls the cops. The cops come. They say, what are you doing here? She says, I'm a grad student. They say, oh, okay, show us your Yale University ID. And she says, no, you're only doing this because I'm black. And it goes from there. Took a couple of hours. She finally showed them the ID. They said, you're free to go. But now there's lots of protests saying black students can't fall asleep at Yale.
If I would have fallen asleep on a college campus and asked, "What are you doing here?" the first thing I would have done is grab my student ID and said, "I'm a student here. I'm, you know, waiting between class," or whatever. And then it would have been over.
So she had her ID on her?
Yeah,
just
like,
wouldn't show it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sleeping.
Again, it seems like a person wanting to make a story out of nothing.
Yeah, if you're in an apartment complex and somebody's sleeping in the hallway, if you're in a hotel and somebody's sleeping in the hallway, as a matter of public safety and as a matter of checking on somebody and make sure they're okay, you're going to check on it. And that had, to me, listen, if a white person's asleep,
exactly,
a Hispanic person's asleep, they're in an area that is really weird. You check on it.
Listen,
you do it.
Listen, I live in a pretty decent neighborhood, and it's a mixed neighborhood in Pasadena Hills. And I see someone sitting in front of my house who is white in a car that I don't recognize. I call the police. When I see three or four black young men who were sitting in front of my house, this just happened a couple of months ago, I walk up to them and I say, "Hey, what the hell are you doing here?" And they, "Well, we waiting." I call the police. When I see things in my neighborhood, I'm going to call the police. It doesn't matter. So guess what? Get over. Show your ID.
Yeah.
You know, well, my son got pulled over by the police last week, and I came up, I saw him, he was pulled over, and the police officer saw me get out my car, and I was walking kind of brisk, and his partner got out the car. Hey, what are you doing? I said, "That's my son." Mm. Oh. And he says, "I'm not going to give you a ticket because your dad is here, right?" So me and the officer is talking. He's talking about his 19-year-old, how he just fell out with his mom and how he just had to tell him, "Hey, this is mine." And then I used some words I can't say on radio. But at the end of the day, we were laughing and joking, right? Because we had something in common. We had knucklehead sons, right? And that's the way it goes.
I was going to say, did your son, was he speeding or something?
Doing 47 in a 30.
Yeah, well.
What? Yeah. And I just told him, Mardi Gras weekend, my man. You better be careful.
Yep.
And what happens? Lights on him. I said, "You know what? That's one you got to pay for."
I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist, but
me neither.
This is not an example of it.
This is clearly not, and I think sometimes we kind of use the R word a little loose and to our own benefit.
See, that's a good point. Yes, Dave, I mean, what do you think? I mean, is this something that we are watering down true outrageous cases of racism?
It hurts.
By throwing it into somebody asleep in a place where people don't sleep. I mean, had the young woman just said, "Oh, guys, it's finals week. It's crazy. I just got tired. Here's my ID," and it looks like the cops would have said, "Oh, okay. Well, you know what? You may get your stuff stolen out of your backpack or something. Be careful."
Mm-hmm. Those three young men at the Nordstrom Rack here in St. Louis. Now, that was clearly a prejudice that was because they were African American. That manager called the police on them, accusing them of Now there's where you get profiled, right? And there's true fears. There is fears with us as African Americans. If I'm riding down the street and I hear a car and I can hear the music before I see the car, and there's four or five of them, and I'm smelling weed, I get a little nervous too, right? It's not, this just happens. And at the end of the day, you can get profiled. And we all have to understand that it happens, and there's true fear and prejudice feelings on both sides. At the end of the day, that was not racism. That was just a fear of just profiling three African-American young men who happened to be at a store that my wife shops and has a royalty card there. And she's like, "Oh, no, but I'm going back." I'm like, "Okay, it was one time." Well, we think it was one time. At least it was in the news this one time. But
you guys see him looking over Mike's head at the TV. Really interesting with Monica Lewinsky, who has been pretty much generally just like dismissed, right? I mean, you're Monica Lewinsky. And she was invited to some event and then later disinvited because Bill Clinton accepted the invitation. And she sent out a pretty benign tweet saying, "Hey, this is really a bad form." And I believe, quite rightfully, everyone's jumping into her defense and saying, "Yeah, that's crap."
Where's the Me Too movement now?
Yeah. Where's the Me Too movement on everything about Hillary Clinton? How is she one of the icons of the feminist movement and not an example of the bad things that it's people that have allowed bad things to happen to women and never did anything about it?
Keith, you want to give a plug for your show?
I certainly will, sir. It's on every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Praise 95.1. It's called Community Connections. We talk to local and national newsmakers. And as always, a pleasure to be here with you, Mr. Glover.
Tone, Weekend Show?
Yeah, Weekend Report now 5 to 7 every Saturday afternoon here on FM News Talk 97.1.
Wait a minute. Are you the lead-in for Close Encounters?
It comes on 30 minutes after my show. Oh, so okay. There's a bit of a cool down.
He's almost
that's
the opening
a big
act.
Responsibility.
There's a bit of a cool down before
thank
the big
God. Mike, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I mean, Missouri Viewpoints is on at O-Dark 30 right here on 97.1, I think, on Sundays. Or you can catch us Sunday morning at 7 on Channel 24 on the TV version every weekend.
Very good. Thank you, boys.